Thanks for checking out Lincoln Way Christian Church's podcast. And don't forget to also check out www.lincolnway.org for more information about Lincoln Way Christian Church. Now let's get right to it and listen to Pastor Jeff as he brings today's message.
When I want my neighbor's life, what is that that happens in our hearts? You know what it is? It's jealousy. It's jealousy. I want what he has. I want what she's got. I want her husband. I want his wife. I mean, I want a different life than what I have. Sometimes we don't necessarily think that what they have is what I want, but I just want the better life that comes with it. And we think that, well, if I get that better, you know, they have that better Labrador Retriever. You know, they have the, you know, they have the better car. They have, and somehow, some way, then my life will be richer and better, and my soul will be satisfied. And when it comes to jealousy, we think that people is the problem. We think that that person who has the more, has the better kids, has the better life, that we think they're the problem. It's the rich people. It's the skinny people. They're the problem. I mean, they're the ones who are at fault here. It's the people with the smart kids. It's the people with the athletic kids. They're the problem. And when I'm stuck in I want my neighbor's life mode, I'm jealous. And I think that you're the problem. You're not my problem because you can't fix my problem. See, what makes a jealous person feel better is when the skinny person comes out after the long winter's nap that we've had here, and they've gained 15 pounds, right? Look at her in that. You know? I mean, we think that's a good thing. Or whenever the financially successful person loses money, or you see the sign on the front of their lawn, sheriff sale, and we think, boy, that is cool, and we feel better because we're jealous. We think that whenever something bad happens to the other guy, that helps us. But really, that doesn't help us. See, the only way for us to feel good about somebody we're jealous of is if they fail, if they don't succeed. See, the real problem is not the people that you're jealous of. So this morning, to illustrate my thing here, I need somebody who wants an iPod shuffle. I need some people who want an iPod shuffle. Anybody raise their hands? Bob's going to help pick out some people. If you want an iPod shuffle, this is a great church. We give away stuff, okay? We give away stuff. Anybody here want an iPod shuffle? Come on. Bob, pick some people out. Yeah. Just go pick three people out. Just go find some people. So find some people who... iPod shuffle. Here we go. iPod shuffle. Anybody want an iPod shuffle? Come on. Don't be shy. Oh, we got a charismatic over here. Who'd you pick her? Okay, Donna, come on down. Come on, who else? Come on, raise your hand. Come on. Come on, Donna, up here, Donna. Hi, Donna.
Hi.
Hi. How are you? What's your name?
Tara.
That's right. I know you. You're Mary Beth's daughter.
Yes.
Have a little baby.
Yes.
Okay. All girls, all the time. Hi. How you doing? Okay. We have Holly. We got Donna and Cheryl.
Tara.
Why don't we call you Cheryl? Tara. Okay. So this is who we have up here. Now I'm going to give three gifts away. Okay. Y'all want iPod shuffles, right? Okay, here we go. Okay, now don't open up. Okay, well, why don't you open up your present, Holly? See what you got. She got an iPod shuffle. Okay, Donna, open up your gift. What'd you get? An Applebee's gift card. It's nice. Yeah. Right? It's not quite an iPod shuffle, though, is it? Not really. Okay, and Tara, what'd you get? An apple. That's not quite the same thing as an iPod Shuffle, is it? That's pretty lousy. She got an iPod Shuffle and you got an apple. You probably don't like her, do you? Yeah. And what world are you living in? Don, at least she's got Applebee's. But you got an apple. Nothing wrong with an apple, is it? Okay, now, wouldn't it be normal for her to be sort of upset with these other two because they got better? But who should she be upset with? Me! Absolutely! It's not their fault. I chose. I chose that you were going to get. I knew what was in yellow bag. You don't think I knew what was in yellow bag? I knew what was in yellow bag. I knew you were going to get Applebee's. Know why? Because I put it in there. In purple bag. And why do you think you got the apple? Because I knew what was in the orange and you were in line. I chose. Just willy-nilly. Just because I chose. I chose who was going to get what. So who's the problem? Me. I am the problem. Okay, no amens. No amens. Oh, no. Where's Donald? Okay. Thank you. Let's give him a hand. Thank you. Now. Look. God deals out stuff in life. But we have problem with that person who happens to have the metabolism of a 15-year-old boy, and she's 45, and she's a skinny little thing, as if she is, you know, as if she's the problem. She's not the problem. God's the problem. Okay? I mean, and I know some of you are going, oh, Jeff, I can't stand this. I can't stand this. See, my real problem is God. See, now, in a fair world, know what I would do? I'd go out back, and I would get two more iPod Shuffles, and give one to Tara and one to Donna, and that'd be fair, right? That'd be fair. God never said it was fair. It hasn't been fair since the Garden of Eden. After that, fairness went out the window. So they're not going to get, she's going to get an apple. She's going to get an Applebee's. And Holly, you're the lucky one. Because I chose. Now, see, God sometimes dishes out some stuff that are outside of our control. See, let's just look at some scripture. Let's see what happens here. Let's look at some scripture and just see how God deals out stuff. And so I want to look at a passage from Daniel. And this is after Nebuchadnezzar. And, you know, you might not know Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a king, and he was a king, and he was ruler, and he got proud. And then what happened was that he was stricken with insanity. And whenever he came out of his insanity, this is what he said. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He, talking of God, does as he pleases with power of heavens and the people of earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? See, God dishes out his power to whom he pleases. He makes kings as who he pleases. He puts people in leadership who he pleases. God is in control. There's a sovereignty about him that we need to hold on. And you can see throughout Scripture, another place is in 1 Chronicles 29. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Who has it? God. He has it all, right? Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You see that? Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, O God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and all of my people that we should be able to give generously to this, at this? This is talking about the giving of the temple, giving stuff to the temple. Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Let's go back to verse 12, right up there. Thanks. Verse 12, wealth and honor comes from you. So who's dishing that out? Matter of fact, there's a passage in Deuteronomy that says God gave some the ability. God gave some the ability to make wealth. Is it fair? No. Now, I'm not putting aside the idea of being good stewards, the idea of being hardworking. I'm not putting any of that aside. But every once in a while, you will meet somebody, you just wonder, how do they do it? How do they do it? They are able, I mean, and even if you did exactly what they do, it doesn't mean you're going to get the same, because they just have that thing. They have that thing, okay? Then there's other scriptures that talks about that God giving out talents, the ability to make crafts. You know, it's not fair. This is not fair. I wish I had musical talent. I really do. Nokomis has musical talent. It's his fault, right? No, God gave him that. Okay? Now, I can be jealous all I want, but I can't, I mean, why be mad at Nokomis? Why be upset? God's the one who gave it out, all right? And in other passages, in Romans and in 1 Corinthians, it talks about God, the Holy Spirit, gives out spiritual gifts to whom he decides, as he determines. Some of us here say, you know what, I want a certain gift. I want to have that certain gift. And you don't get that certain spiritual gift. And you're wondering yourself, why not? Because God, the Holy Spirit hasn't decided. The Holy Spirit hasn't given it. And so we get jealous of the person. We get jealous of that. You know, look, I'm musically, I'm about a 2, maybe a 3 on a good day. The best I can ever get musically is about a 5. Now, I can put all my energy into the fact that I am a 3 and I want to be a 5, but guess what? That is a waste of time. God gave me some other things, so what I need to do is focus on those things that he's given me rather than the things he has not given me. And it's the same with you and with me. That was extra, sorry. Look what Romans 9 just comes and burns against us, and look what it says here. But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Now, this is talking about in the area of mercy and all this kind of stuff. God chooses Esau. God doesn't choose Esau, but he chooses Jacob. I mean, it's all in that passage, all around there. It says, Why do you talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to whom is formed? Why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble purpose and some for common use? And so God makes his choices. Who are we to talk back? This is all about the sovereignty of God. Now, none of this is comfortable. Because see, what happens in us is when it comes to jealousy, at the root of jealousy, when you take back the veneer of being angry at the other person, is that we have within our heart this attitude. Jealousy says, God, you owe me. God, you owe me. You owe me. You owe me something different than what I bargained for. See, the problem with jealousy is this, is that you can't be a transforming Christian. You can't be a Christian who's being transformed into the image of Christ if jealousy has taken root in your heart. Why? Because you can't love. See, the two major commands of the Bible are what? Jesus told us what they were. The most important is what? The greatest commandments are what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, right? And the second one is like it, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two commands. Those are the two important ones. And yet, whenever love is described by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that is typically read at weddings, okay, this is what he tells us. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love, it does not envy. See, you and I cannot love if we envy, if we're jealous. And then he continues on and says, it is not rude. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. Love does not delight when your neighbor fails. Love does not delight when your neighbor fails. Love does not delight when your neighbor fails. Okay? And so if we are going to root this out of our heart, what are we going to do? What are we going to do whenever our neighbor's kids are well-behaved and successful and ours aren't? What are we going to do when the guy who's significantly younger than you passes you by on your career track? What are you going to do when your college roommate reaches a level of success financial security that you could only dream of. What happens whenever your health is not restored like you'd like, and yet you see a miracle in another person's life? When God was passing out spiritual gifts, he did not give you the one you wanted to give, and he could have. And he could have, but he doesn't. So what do we do with this? What do we do? What's the pathway home? How do we fix this? What is the pathway? I want to give you three things that I think will help. First of all is this, is confess the truth. Confess the truth that I think God still owes me. I think you need to confess that and simply say, you know what? When I get jealous of somebody, whenever I see something over there that I think I should have, that I think I should get, or some life should be different in some way, and it's, I think you should just simply confess that as what it is. I think God owes me. I think he owes me. And confess that to God. And the second thing is this, is confess your jealousy to the neighbor you wrongly treat. There may be a neighbor that you just really have a hard time with. Might not be. It might be a coworker. And you may be treating them bad. You may be treating them wrong. Maybe it's another fellow student at school, and you're jealous of that person. So you do some goofy things, and you ignore, or you won't talk to, or you kick them in the shins. I mean, whatever it is. You need to go up to that person. And I know this is radical. You need to go up to that person and say, you know what? I have been treating you wrong. I have been jealous of you. Would you forgive me? Wow. And that's a tough thing to say. And there may be a category of people that you have this thing with. I don't know. Maybe it's a category. I don't know. Maybe it's all blondes or something. I don't know. All people with six-figure incomes. All people with size, five dresses and under. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's a category. You need to work that through. And lastly, you need to develop this discipline of celebrating the other person you're jealous of, or that category of person you're jealous of. Celebrating them. Celebrating them out loud. Out loud, to their face, to other people's faces. If you're jealous of a guy in the career track and you need to say, boy, you are doing a great job. You know, boy, I wish I could work as, and you don't have to do it like this. I just went through my, says, boy, I wish I could work as little as you do to get as much as you have. that probably wouldn't be too cool. But I mean, really, celebrate the other person out loud. Celebrate who they are. Celebrate, you know, and be complimentary. Encourage them. Okay? Because when we do that, you're going to stifle that jealousy within your soul. You need to first confess it to God. Again, I said confess it to God. That God, I think you owe me. I have a jealous heart. You need to confess it. You have God, repentance, you know. 1 John, right? Chapter 1, verse 9. If I confess my sins, he is faithful and just, what, to forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. But there's also value in confessing to one another. Confess to your sins one to another so that you may be what? Healed. And celebrate that person who's outside of you. Now, what would that look like? If you were able to discipline yourself in such a way that you celebrated the other person, confessed to God, confessed to the person, and that jealousy began to just go down in your life. You know what I think you would have more than anything else is a spirit of contentment. That you would begin to be content within your soul. That because you're trusting God, that he's going to take care of you. And that what he dealt out on those gifts and the resources and all that, it's okay. The anxiety that pushes me to validate who I am by comparing myself to a neighbor will be lessened. And I will look at all people as valuable. See, this is a matter of trust. This is a matter of trust, in my opinion. And to me, this is where the gospel meets up with it. Is that do we truly trust God? Do we truly trust what he's dealt us? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, there's this great passage. It was quoted to me by somebody who was going through a terrible, difficult time. And I'll never forget this passage and the context in which he spoke it to me. And he says, and God, my God, and my God will meet all your needs according to his riches, glorious riches in Christ Jesus. See, we got to trust that. For see, it's really not about you, and it's not about the person you're jealous of. It's about God. And say, you know what? I've got to trust God. That me not having a music ability, okay, just as an example, that's okay. And that somebody else does. I've got to trust God with that. I've got to trust that God gave me the exact gifts, the exact abilities that he wanted me to have. Because my God will supply all my needs according to his riches glory. Glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I need to trust that, and so do you.
For more information about our church, children's ministry programs, and student ministry programs, check out www.lincolnway.org.